farther north in an area devastated by the tsunami, the chief concerns remain helping survivors and sifting through the wreckage. The BBC's Rachel Harvey has been shadowing a British and United States search and rescue team in northern Japan. She describes the scene in a hillside village called Asahigaoka.
It was overlooking a valley that had been absolutely devastated. I mean, just wiped off the face of the earth, in effect. The people from the valley who'd survived, and there were many people who did heed the evacuation warning and run to high ground, those people were now staying with this hillside community, and everybody there had literally pooled their resources. There was one family, for instance, of seven, who was now putting up another eight people. So 15 people in this relatively small house, all kipping down on the floor for the night, sharing their food, sharing their water. There was a village hall, a community centre in one part of that village, where it was just a hive of activity. They'd had some supplies that had been given to them by the military, and they were itemising the boxes of rice, the cabbages, the loaves of bread that had been brought in, all these boxes of food. They were taking strict lists of everything they've got, storing it, and then later they said they would work out who needed exactly what and distribute it. That was the women who were doing that part of the work. Outside in the cold, the men were sawing empty oil drums in half. They were then cleaning them out, filling them with water, setting fires that they'd dug a pit in a school playground, set a fire in there, put the oil drums over the top to boil water. The firewood they were using, they'd actually salvaged from the tsunami debris. So they were using the wreckage of people's homes to build those fires.
I wonder, Rachel, there seems to be a certain amount of organization there, and I wonder if it's organic, if it's something that has been practiced in civil defense drills in the event of something like this happening. Did you get an impression either way?
I think people have certainly been brought up from a very early age that, you know, the Japanese know that they live on these fault lines. From primary school onwards, they go through earthquake drills. They're taught about tsunamis. There's a very sophisticated public information system in place. The tsunami sirens, there are warnings that go out on the radio and on TV. So people are very attuned to that kind of thing. But I think there is also just a cultural organizational spirit. They seem incredibly stoic, the Japanese people, and incredibly patient. I mean, I remember one night that we actually spent in an evacuation center ourselves, sleeping on the floor of this school gymnasium, and everyone was very quiet and very orderly and very respectful at night. In the morning, almost just after kind of first light, some food was brought in by volunteers, and a lady had a loud hailer. And she very respectfully told people, look, there is some food here for anybody who wants it, if you'd like to come forward. And people just formed an orderly line straight away, very quietly, without being asked how to do it. They just formed a line, queued up, and there they were ready for their food. And the other thing that has struck me travelling around the affected area, there's no power and no phone lines. Well, everywhere in Japan, there are vending machines. Anywhere you can get a Coke, a bottle of water, even coffee, Japanese tea, that kind of thing. These things are everywhere. With the power out, they're not working. In other parts of the world, you would imagine those machines would be smashed up and people would be grabbing the drinks that they would like and the water which they need. I've not seen that at all. Everywhere in Japan, those vending machines, even in the worst affected areas, those vending machines have still been left completely untouched.
Rachel, one final question. I wonder, despite the fact that these people are getting by, are they concerned at all about, and are they knowledgeable about what's happening at the Fukushima nuclear plant?
Concerned, definitely. They're getting information where they can. Where there's not power, of course, they're not able to watch the TV, but then they're glued to radios and getting newspapers where they can and passing information one person to another. They are certainly concerned about that situation, just as in the tsunami-affected area, they are on an hour-by-hour, day-by-day basis concerned about just getting the basics for life, about getting warmth, about getting food, about getting water, and about making sure that everyone around them is doing okay.
All right, the BBC's Rachel Harvey, thank you very much for the update.
Thank you.